I thought we were waiting for a picture.
Next case.
Case number 11,285, Barry and Wendy Peterman, for a special use exception for a rifle and pistol range.
Okay.
And I guess just, once more, because we got a different tape on there. Mr. Rickard, you said you had listened to the tapes and reviewed the public record.
I sure had, and boy, you guys talked a long time. I did, I listened to them. In fact, I listened to the tape twice.
Okay, now we'll open up.
Well, you know, the question to us is, will a special use exception substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties? From all the testimony I heard, it's not will it, but it has. And it hasn't been approved yet. So his use, obviously, at least from what I was hearing, has adversely affected the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
But they never had any testimony or any supporting documentation to the fact, though. And how did it? How would it? For property-wise, it's going to affect their properties. They didn't have nobody here. They had no paperwork on it.
It was a witness account.
They've been there, you know, and my question on that was, he's been doing it now for, what, 10 years?
And the witnesses have...
Nothing's been filed in 10 years. Nobody complained in 10 years, and now we do. You know, it's like the noise.
I don't know. Maybe. I thought one had said that they had complained, but...
Yeah, but, well, there was none. I'd ask it like that. But you did have complaints?
Oh, yeah.
13. All the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
13 people, from what I understood.
Yep. For the whole time you've been there?
I don't know when they started, but when I had the area, there were several complaints.
Several?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
the guy with the...
He actually stopped doing it for quite a while because we went up there and told him to either file or stop.
Okay. Did I understand right that the one of the opposition stated that he had actually gone over the property line and cut trees from the other property owners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then he said he corrected that. He said he brought the
berm back. He said he moved
back.
The berm back, but he didn't say he replanted the trees.
Well, no, he didn't say that.
I guess my point
no,
is
he didn't say that.
That he already had an adverse effect
right.
on the
right.
neighboring
yes.
property. That's what
yes,
my
that's,
point.
That's, yeah, that's the...
You know,
the guy that has approved it, now see if I got this right, we all got it right. The guy that was approving it was an instructor, is that correct? In the applicant?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, the applicant's an instructor.
Yeah.
Right.
At
yeah,
one point I asked him, I said, you know, with safety being of concern and whatnot, mm-hmm. I said, you know, wouldn't it be part of your... being or you know your process to find out, hey, are we operating properly? Because you know at that point we'd heard testimony that he had been operating
ex-serviceman, NRA.
Well, went beyond family and friend. He was
right.
they had instructors there. So yeah, it you know
he was NRA and ex-serviceman.
Mm-hmm.
So am I, but I ask.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in that process of, you know, we're talking about gun safety, you know, there's certain rules that you follow, and you find out, if you're not sure of those rules, you find out what those rules are.
Right.
And so someone being of that nature and that used to that process,
mm-hmm.
I would think would go and say, hey, do I have to have some kind of special thing before I get started?
Okay.
You know, are there... It didn't sound like he had, and subsequently we heard, you know, the testimony was from, it wasn't from people down, you know, 2 country miles away. It was neighboring adjacent properties that just weren't happy with the situation.
Well, they're arguing over 62 yards what house was or something, and she Googled it, and then all of a sudden, this guy says, I was 100 yards away. Well, even 100 yards away, I mean, there's a lot of consideration there, and could, like I said, substantially affect the neighborhood with all that firing.
Gunfire. Yeah, I mean, you know, my neighbor, I don't know that I'd be an objection to my neighbor and, you know, having family and friends over spending some lead, or whatever. But when you've got, 10 people unloading 100 rounds, that's 1,000 rounds at a time.
That's a lot of
That's a lot of lead slinging, yeah.
Well, we did service two numbers.
Now, you say you don't like a Beretta handles 10 rounds and a 9mm and a 45, like 7. Huh. Now you get 10 people up there rapid firing. You don't need to tell me that's going to take off.
Or he decides to instruct in automatic weapons, and then it gets even worse. So.
You're pumping hot points there.
I just think it's going to be not only adversely affect the neighborhood. I also feel in my own heart that there is a safety factor there being that close.
With berms, and he offered to put side berms up, and he could even put a rear berm up.
Yeah.
And he also said sides. They can ricochet. I've heard cases where they have. And
oh, sure.
People, I don't know if Mr. Sharp wants me to say this or not, but
we should stick with what's in the record. So.
Okay, but I know there has been situations where there has been ricochets that have wound up in homes. So that's a safety factor, and they were further away than here, than 100 yards. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It seems like the board seems to be in consensus, or if there's no further discussion, we're ready to vote. I'll entertain a motion.
Wait, Brent.
Brent, you got 13 against it, and it will affect the adjacent neighborhood. So they didn't prove it to me they wouldn't, and you got 13 people doing it. So
you feel the same way that it's not a matter of will it, but it has.
Yeah. So I'm in favor of denying it.
Okay. Chairman?
I'm voting for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, that we deny case number 11,285, special use exception, will substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring properties by the testimonies and also by the record that was presented to us.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Rickers and a second by Mr. Workman that we deny case number 11,285. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Mr. Chairman, based on the testimony that we heard, I vote aye.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickers?
Aye for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Aye, Mr. Callaway, for all the previous reasons that have been stated.
Did you vote that up?
By a vote of 5-0, case number 11,285 is denied. Gentlemen, that's all that we have for this evening. So if there's no further business.
Could you check that for me? Am I just holding on to that for fun? Or?
Mr. Chairman, how are...
case number... What?
I don't know. I had that laying in there, and I.
That's
the one where they have pictures.
11,267.
What's the name on that, Mr. Chairman?
SMADS. Samad. That was that fellow from.
Samdi. That was we.
Samad. Yeah.
That we did hear that in old business last time.
Last meeting. Last meeting. Yeah. I had to stop and think a minute. Yep. Last meeting. Yes.
We have a. On our agenda for the next hearing, we have a cell tower, and I would suggest that the two hearings that we've put off tonight, that we move to the front of that agenda for the next hearing.
Oh.
And I was curious as to, are we setting any sort of rules because of time, limitations? I know that in the past cell towers have gone into the wee hours, and I think that we
I think we should why you brought that right up, Mr. Mills, because there has been already some people that has inquired and officer are called in reference to this case have taken so long, so many, you know, that they're talking so much, and that would be the people in opposition as well as others. It's going to be a big crowd. So I think we should have some ground rules. I think we've done that before. They get an hour each of testimony, a half hour for rebuttal or something, but some type of rule should be done. There's no 5.5 hours for the same case. Should it be done in 5 hours?
Mr. Chairman, I've spoken with the attorney for the applicant and the attorney for the opposition, and I've told them I would be contacting them this week, you know, a couple weeks before to see how they were planning on structuring their presentation, with the idea that I can talk to them about how we can do it most efficiently, while still allowing them to present the, you know, the substance of their for and against. So I suspect, as we have, sometimes there'll be people here that are on their own volition and they may not be as efficient, but I do plan to have conversations with them this week to kind of get a feel for how they're planning on presenting it. And
but don't you feel we give them a time frame? We've done that before. I mean, we just tell them that, and then they start, and then we don't want to do it in the middle of the meeting. It'd be a good idea, like an hour for their case, a half hour for rebuttal each. That's 3 hours. And you got to take yourself, they start at 8, that'd be 11. I mean, I think we should have some type of a time.
Yeah, after
we can ask them, but they don't mean they're going to do it. But if they know, and if it goes over a few minutes, fine. But if we tell them an hour, that don't mean they can talk an hour and a half and then get a half hour rebuttal. That's fair enough?
I think it's fair. I think we would need to make that known up front. And also, I'm also hesitant in that I don't know if how many experts or witnesses and things of that sort they're going to bring. So,
I will say this. You know, we do have the ability to. I think that we all share the idea and the fact that, you know, after 10:30 at night, most testimony, you know, just doesn't process that well. It doesn't with me. I think the others may agree. And so we do have the ability to stop a hearing at any time and continue it at a later date. And so, you know, should that be the case, then maybe, you know.
I say, get them a time, and they go over something.
John,
fine,
I've always said, you know, you work all day. It's not my case, but you guys work all day at second jobs, and when you get up here at 11:30 at night, even when you don't, you're not as sharp as I think.
You're not. Common sense. Your retention's bad. It's going to be nothing.
They had to do that with the commission. I imagine they had a couple of 2 o'clock in the morning jobs and.
Well, it's not fair to the applicant nor the opposition if there comes a point where we are less than attentive.
I mean, because if that one, like if the applicant come in and they got 15 witnesses and if they all talk 10 minutes, 20 minutes, well, Sean, you got 2 hours and a half, and then they're going to rebut. No, if they know that they got an hour, they can fine-tune it. I would think and get it across.
And
then they go, like I said, 5-10 minutes over, that's okay, but.
And you know, like Jamie says, you know, you're going to have other people that are going to want to speak and, you know, in opposition, typically. And with them, I mean, you know, we just have to, enforce the fact that repetitive, you know, testimony and whatnot is not necessary.
And then they're getting it, but, you know, you ask that and we tell them that, and then they still come up and they do it. So,
well, if that's the case, then we'll just put, you know, we'll continue the hearing later.
I say, give them a time frame, and they know going in front, but they can fine tune it.
Have you, you said you're in touch with the office. Have they ever made a decision on whether the director can approve over his desk the under a foot or something like that without? Coming to the board.
That was an ordinance passed in 2012.
He's doing it.
Ms. Thibodeau would be best to answer that than I, but I.
He's gotten a few, majority of them he has had to recommend them go to the board.
Yeah.
Because they were extenuating circumstances.
But he has received a few of them.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a unique appeal process on that one. But as for the next meeting, I will contact the attorneys for both sides this week and let them know that they'll have a limited, you know, that they will be limited in the amount of time and that they should prepare accordingly. I do caution the board, though, given the litigiousness of this case, I think it may be best to let some people talk, even though that...
I'm not saying we deny them that, but I don't want them to think, you know, they come in, you know, it's carte blanche. You know, once I come in, you just up all night and it'd be 2-3 o'clock.
We don't want to have a filibuster situation.
We will have a filibuster at 10:30. I'll go at the door. I'm not going to let them stay. Look, one side talks at 10:30, then the other one starts at 11 o'clock. No, that's not going
to... No, but as far as the opposition, I mean, if it gets to the point that, you know, it's 11 o'clock and they're just ready to go on, then we can just stop the hearing and continue at another time.
I mean, if you've heard it or not, you know, people that's from the outside's called and that's already complaining. Have you heard that yet?
Well, I'm aware of what's going on, and okay.
We've done this before. We've asked for it as a board, and it just seems like, you know, goes and, you know, like we're not being heard. If we can just hear that, we'll tell them up front, like you said, and if they abuse it, we know how to address it. That's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. I can too, but let's give them something to go with.
Rest assured, Mr. Chairman, that I, for one, if it goes, you know, beyond what I feel is reasonable, then I'll make a motion to continue it.
Absolutely,
I'll
no
second
problem.
It. I mean, but 1 o'clock at 12:30, you know, that's no sense in that. The same thing.
Jamie, I think, you know, we had it before, and I think we've been drug out before, and I think we're all on the same page. Cutting somebody off, a lot of people, when they came back up, same things.
And we keep doing it.
I know, I had to read all the transcripts multiple times, so.
I mean, it's not the first time we ever had one, so I mean, that's where we're coming from as a board, I think.
Well, this has been going on four or five years. Yeah, but not just this case.
We do have to remember this is a de novo case. So it's a de novo case, so it's a whole new application. So
yeah, no, I know that, but this is going on 4 or 5 years. Sure. I mean, we keep going this. We just need to get somebody to stand with the board and say, okay, I understand the board, and let these people know it. But we brought it up, and it's never happened. So if we, the board, have to do it, you be prepared to defend us, because, you know, if we tell them, no, we're coming 10 or 11 o'clock, and they won't keep talking. Okay, that's not right, you know. So, I mean, I'm not putting them on your back, but we're kind of asking you, we're united, I feel, now that...
Well, that's why I brought it
keeps
up.
It keeps going.
So there's no surprise if it does happen.
I may have another medical test without that.
That would be a good time to have it. That and Melvin Joseph's asphalt plant, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Sure. 3 o'clock that one morning upstairs in the elevator. Yeah, right. Quarter after 3.
It was crazy.
Okay, gentlemen, then we're open for adjournment.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?